Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Most Tuesdays are just Tuesdays, except at Buffalo Wild Wings, where Tuesdays are Wing Tuesdays. But now even Wing Tuesdays aren't just Wing Tuesdays, because Wing Tuesdays are half-price Wing Tuesdays, which means your boring Tuesday that became Wing Tuesday now costs you half as much. In case you're confused, we have half-price Wing Tuesdays. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. See participating locations for details. Void where prohibited.
Welcome to the RotoWire NBA podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. My name is DJ Trainer. I'm joined today by Ken K Train Kreitz. No Shannon today. He's a busy guy, Ken. We just can't wrangle him down.
Busy man.
Sit him down for an hour. He's just a wild horse, and we're lucky when we have him.
A stallion has to run and run free.
Has to run. It is Friday, October 14th. Shannon's running wild out there. Thanks so much for joining us again. This podcast is available on iTunes and Stitcher. Feel free to leave a nice review on one of those venues. You can also download and listen to this podcast directly on the RotoWire website or on Audio Boom. Feel free to use any one of those venues to hear Ken and I talk about some NBA today. Ken, last night you and Shannon had your NFBKC contest. You want to talk a little bit about that before we get into things here?
Sure. We, a lot of very talented semi-pros drafting with actual pros ourselves on the NFBKC site, owned by Stats. We had the 12th pick, and, it was fantastic practice. Bigs were going early. We wound up getting Giannis and Lillard at the 12-1 turn at the end of the first, start of the second, and then a lot of the C's we wanted left, and we wound up with Walker in the third. I highly recommend that site, especially some great training before maybe your hometown leagues, and extremely competitive.
Yeah, definitely. We were talking before we hit the record button here. I'm not sure, in other sports, I think I kind of like being on the end, and of course this was a third round reversal, so that helps out in this particular draft. In NBA, though, I mean, I just want to be in that top five spot because I think guys like Lillard, like Giannis this year, can ultimately come back around to you if you were in that top five based on personal preference around the league. So I'm not so certain that that's such a valued spot like it could be for NFL or MLB or some other sports. Probably not MLB.
But. Well, to that point, let me read you the last five picks.
Yeah.
Of the second round, so you can see if you're top five, these are the guys that went. Kyrie Irving, like that. Draymond Green, I think he's going to be a little down this year. Al Horford, love that pick. I think he's going to be awesome. Oladipo, Bledsoe, and then the zinger, Porzingis, the unicorn.
Okay. So, yeah, so that would have been your, like, 19th through 20th?
Oh, that was the last six. Yeah, okay. Sorry, that was the last six. Kyrie Irving would... If you were top six, you didn't get Irving in the second round. So really it was Green, Horford, Oladipo, Bledsoe, Porzingis. I think Bledsoe, Oladipo, you could probably argue, are they second or third round? Zinger qualifies at center in this league, so that definitely gives them some added bonus. But not terrible. Not no-brainer. What do you think of those second-round picks?
So I've seen this quite a bit, and Oladipo is getting drafted higher than I ever thought he would.
Me
I'm
too.
Not surprised. There's a big hole to fill. The problem is, in
jump
this
shot.
First year of adjustments, I'm not so sure these guys are going to work so harmoniously as some people think.
Right.
Granted, there's lots of room for him to be able to take shots and do lots of things, and we know he can help out in other areas like steals and three-pointers, but I'm just not so certain that that adjustment is going to happen right away. And I should admit that I'm pretty conservative in terms of fantasy, in terms of I always like to know what I'm getting into. And so I'm going to draft somebody who's been in a particular situation for a year or two, so I know what to expect. Granted, Oladipo could break out. He could have his best season, but I like to have that mental security. That's one of the major reasons why I really don't touch rookies under any circumstances, even when they are going to be really good and have lots of minutes. You just don't know what you're getting into, and I like to have that security blanket of at least the, you know, the mental state. I know what I'm getting into.
You are a crotchety old man, because that's exactly my approach as well. I like to like I make that Simpson grandpa noise when rookies get drafted.
Well, I love it because to me, you know, if you go back to last year's post, Josh Hayes and I always used to say there's certain guys out there that are ticking time bombs.
Oh, yeah.
Derrick Rose is one of them. Ricky Rubio, in that those guys are going to get hurt at some point, and they're just going to blow up your entire draft that year. They're just going to mess you up. And I think rookies are kind of that way to a certain extent because, I mean, we're not even sure that these guys are going to be in the NBA for the next 3 years, much less that they're going to blow up and be worthy of a draft pick, but just because you think they're going to blow up. And traditionally, if you look at the NBA, you know, maybe one or two guys are going to have reliable seasons. Other than that, there's a transition period. So I'm very conservative. I'll admit that, but somebody like a Victor Oladipo, I'm not. And at no point this preseason am I going to be using a second-round draft pick. If I don't get him this year in any leagues, then so be it. But I'll wait and ride things out before I'm going to, you know, attach my wagon to that train.
Yeah, yeah. I think what stood out to me most, at least in the first two rounds, Hassan Whiteside went 14th.
Okay.
You like that? I mean, obviously he's going to get some crazy blocks again. I don't know. That offense is going to be a mess, but I don't know.
You know what? Like, I was talking about this the other day in the office, and to me, he's a type of player that he's not going to make a bad team average, but he could make an average team good or a good team great. And that being that, you know, offensively, he's not going to put the team on his back and will you to a win or anything like that. But when you drop him into a system that's already working functionally, then he really can push them over the top, especially on defense. And then on offense, you know, there's certain ways he can edge his way into the offensive scheme. But if it's just like, you know what, Dragic and Whiteside are go-to options and they just have to find a way to score, Whiteside to me is just not that type of player whatsoever. On top of that, the guy is averaging for his career like 0.23 assists per game over the course of his entire career. And so not only can he not necessarily get you a basket at will like some other big guys can in the league, but he's not going to be able to help out his other teammates. So I'm a little bit skeptical, but the thing is, if he's going to be averaging 3.5 blocks per game, then that's where his true value lies. And obviously rebounds, he should be a top three rebounder in the league as well.
And a field goal percentage of 60% is always useful. So, but yeah, I think it will be chaos. I think the system will break down. I think that's going to be great for Dragic. I think it's much like when he was on some crummy Suns teams, Dragic could get some huge volume, and I think he'll know how to do well in chaos. I'm not sure Whiteside will, but you'll see. I mean, obviously, you cannot just for the blocks, you can almost justify it.
Right. Yeah. I know that's a troubling thing. And somebody like Andre Drummond, and I've been looking at my rotisserie leagues this year, and we've talked about it quite a bit over the course of the last couple of weeks on every day of the pod, really. That Andre Drummond can win you like two categories, field goal percentage, rebounds, and blocks too, or something like that. He can put you in a position where you're going to finish in the top one, two, or three spots in those respective categories, but he is going to be the sole reason why you finish in last place in free throw percentage, so you really have to weigh it. And really, more often than not, if you're playing in rotisserie leagues, Drummond just doesn't work. You're just going to have a very hard time, even if he does help you win three categories, making up for like a one or a two-pointer in any rotisserie, you know, a category is just, it's too hard to overcome.
You know, Drummond and DeAndre Jordan both need to man up and call Rick Barry and get the old shoot the underhand lesson. They had him on, of all places, NPR's This American Life, because they're talking about why is it hard for people, even when all the statistics indicate you should change, to not change. And they had Rick Barry talking about how, you know, he was, even though he had tremendous success with it, nobody would ever would interact with him or make that change.
So, Ken, we had a rookie in the league over in China actually attempt underhanded free throws, and I know why you didn't mention him. Chinanu Nwaku, so that's another name for you to learn.
another name for me to butcher.
He's shooting his free throws underhand. Obviously, the Rick Barry is a lot easier to go to.
I wonder how the Chinese feel about that. They probably don't care. They're probably like, oh, all right, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of funny that that's like unleashed for the first time in 20, 30 years, and it was in China. We'll see.
All right, I'm going to keep an eye on that guy.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on that guy. Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, hey, should we get to the news?
Yeah, let's do it real quick. Before we do that, Ken, I should mention that we're going to be talking sleepers on this podcast. So Ken and I have compiled a list of about seven, eight sleepers here. We're going to go over them. But first, yeah, let's get to the news.
All right. Well, why don't we start with more Joel Embiid obsession. I actually saw him play. I'm going to take a tangent here. Saw him play in Cleveland preseason game Saturday. Sixers visiting the Cavs. Cavs have a new opening, as you would imagine, that stresses the massive trophy. And they've added four giant fire cannons to their Jumbotron screens in the middle of the game. And when they light as part of the opening, you actually can feel the heat in your seats. We actually had pretty good seats, and we could feel this burning sensation from these cannons lit. And I was like, how is that even legal? You know, like, this has got to be a fire hazard. And yet, you know what? People are like, who cares? We have a championship in Cleveland. Light this mother up.
Yeah, it sounds like those banners are going to catch on fire before the end of the year.
I know. But on the Sixer side of things, Joel Embiid is doing a great job of getting the free throw line. So in seven preseason games, he's only averaging 13 minutes per. He's already gotten 4.8 attempts, 13 minutes. So, you know, extrapolate that to 20, 25, whatever they let him play. That's going to look very nice. And he's shooting threes. In particular, a top-of-the-key three looks very confident. He's been shooting one a game. He hit one for two. But, you know, when you're big, start to drain a few threes, that's always some nice gravy.
Yeah, for certain. I mean, obviously the big issue here is just the depth that they have in the front court. How are they going to manage that? If Embiid is somebody they like a whole lot, they need to put these other guys on display to at least, you know, give them some trade value on the market. So they may, the 76ers may firmly believe that they're going to stick with Embiid, and that's the one guy they will not throw out there in trade offers, right? But even if they firmly believe he's the center of their future, they have to play these other guys to get their value up.
It's the deal,
And so that poses a lot of issues in terms of fantasy value, of course. A lot of people think he's a dark horse to win Rookie of the Year. Sure, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with tossing around and talking about that.
But with Simmons out, of course.
Yeah, I'm conservative here, but I'm gonna wait this out next couple years before I touch Embiid.
Well, and frankly, is he the next Sam Bowie too? Is he gonna have, is he gonna have more foot issues? Well, tell us what's going on in Atlanta, sir.
Right, so Paul Millsap, sick, no preseason games. Obviously, it would be nice to see him after that knee adjustment. I kind of think he's going to be fine. He's one of the more underrated players in the league.
Always
one of the more underrated players in the league, assuming that he is going to be just fine after these knee issues.
Do they lean on him for more scoring with Teague gone and, of course, Horford gone? You know, do they actually need to, and in a Korver aging before our eyes, you know, Howard could be an interesting ad, and I don't know how often, but, you know, he doesn't move as well. They won't pass as well. I'm just kind of curious to see how his offensive game adjusts with these new starters in Atlanta.
Right. That's something that Nick Whalen and I have been very cautious about is, you know, essentially you're swapping centers. So you wouldn't think, oh, you know, Millsap will just operate under, however, he's been operating the last few years, a very good player. However, Dwight Howard is such a different player than Al Horford is that, you know.
And by different player, you mean poor passer, right?
Well, not even that. I mean, he gets hated on for his passing abilities, but at the same time, you need to give him the ball more so people like feel like they have to collapse on him. In Houston, he got they just didn't run him to optimization here. I don't think he's that bad of a passer, but really, it's just that he just has to be attacking the rim, whereas Horford was floating around the elbow, 15-foot away from the rim. Nick and I talked to Kale Chouinard, who writes for Hawks.com. And earlier this week, and he said, you know, there's a different aura about this team, is that they're a little more easygoing. He does think that Kyle Korver is going to have somewhat of a resurgent year. I think in terms of stats, Millsap is going to be fine, but obviously there's going to be an adjustment period. But somebody that has traditionally been underdrafted and undervalued, so if you're taking him in the second round and you're concerned that there's a new dynamic here, I think he should be going at the end of, he should have been going at the end of first rounds, early second rounds in years past. So if you're taking him at the end of the second round, maybe even early third round, if that's possible, I don't think so, then maybe he's more valued what he should have been all along anyway. So I'm not concerned from that perspective.
All right. Very interesting. Well, hey, shall we get on to our sleeper picks? Good, sir.
Let's do it.
All right. You start. You as the host, you should go first, my friend.
All right, we'll get into it. This is somebody I've talked about in the past. I'm pretty excited about. I've given some bold predictions, and one of my bold predictions, let me remind you, was that Markieff Morris is going to have a really, really good year with Washington.
Bold.
I mean, if I really wanted to be bold, I would say All-Star and stuff, but I don't think he's going to make the All-Star game. I just think he's going to have a very good year in Washington. And let me give a little brief history about Morris.
You don't think Jason Smith's going to surpass him on that vaunted depth chart of the Wizards?
I just don't think he's going to pose any issues for playing time. So, you know, back in Phoenix, Markieff played four and a half years there, and he, like, across the board, he was helping you out so much. Let me go back to just 2 years ago in Phoenix, 15 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, a full steal, half a block, and almost a full three-pointer. I mean, that is production up and down the chart. We've gotten away from Phoenix where there was some bad blood there. He's detached from his brother. He didn't want to be. But you know what? He's had a half a year under his belt to just figure things out. And I think he's going to really refocus on basketball. If he's playing 28 to 32 minutes, which I think he should and be able to do, this guy is going to be stuffing the stat sheet all over the place. And, you know, some of that negative energy and that negative connotation that he's had over the past 2 years because he fizzled out in Phoenix is going to go away. He's going to refocus on basketball. And then slowly but surely, as the year goes along, you're going to see his name and say, whoa, this guy's a top 50 fantasy player? How did that happen? And it's because people are going to be too entrenched in the past and his negative energy that happened like last couple years ago. But I'm looking at the stats, baby, and I think he's going to have a good year.
Do you have any concern over the drop in his field goal percentage the last 3 years? You think that was because of all the nonsense in Phoenix?
Good question. I haven't necessarily... I would probably say just like from a mental state, you know, he reached a peak like in terms of on the good side in the 2013-14 year when he averaged basically 49% from the field. And then last year between Phoenix and between Washington, he was coming in a hair under 43%. So I expect that to jump back up maybe in the 46.5 range. And like I said, I think just mentally he's going to be better equipped. And I think when you're in a better mental state, that really affects your field goal percentage. And let's not forget, when he was in Phoenix, he just didn't really care. So if he jacked up a shot and missed it, I don't think he honestly cared a whole lot if it went in or not. And now I think, all that negative energy is gone, and I think we're going to see a nice uptick all across the board from him.
All right, very good. And he did play better the second half in Washington. Right. Interesting to see how he fits in with Beal and Wall. But certainly the opportunity is there. We were joking about, I mean, Jason Smith's behind him. And after that, Andrew Nicholson, who was a sleeper of ours many years ago, but he's probably aged past that. I mean, he's just going to get, like his brother in Detroit, a gazillion minutes.
Right. All right, who's your first sleeper, Ken?
Who is my first sleeper? I went with Jared Bayless because TJ McConnell is terrible, but also they so desperately need even a mediocre point guard in Philadelphia. And what I like is Bayless had a little wrist boo-boo preseason. He was on everybody's sleeper list. Then he gets a little wrist issue in the preseason. I think some people are backing off. He's going to get a gazillion minutes playing for Philadelphia. He's going to make 2 threes a game. I love me some Gerald Bayless. Obviously, with Simmons gone, they need someone to lead that team in assists, and Bayless, I think, is finally going to do that. He's always been a bit of a tweener guard, but where else are they going to go? Part of the atrocity I had to watch of that preseason Cavs-Sixers game was watching Sergio Rodriguez try to play defense. He was like exhibit A of how people make fun of Europeans for playing defense. You know, like the label of all Euros are soft on D. He was exhibit A. Nice beard, big beard, but did not guard anyone. And I just think Bayless, I'm loving me some Jared Bayless.
Grade A beard on Rodriguez, like a very, very solid beard, respectable, you know, across the age spectrum. I think it's respected across all ages. Unfortunately, that doesn't help him play the game of basketball much better.
Think people are, speaking of age, I think people assume Jared Bayless in his mid-30s. He looks old.
He does.
Something with the shaved head and the Paul Pierce headband. He's only 28. Yeah, and he's going to get to be the man finally. He's always, you know, he's always been in and out of starting rotations, but he's going to start every day, I think, for Philadelphia. And he's not as old as you think. He's only 28.
Yeah, so my biggest concern coming into this year, because I agree, you threw his name out as a sleeper, and you were totally right, not only today, but I think a week or two ago too, Ken. You were early to the game on this one. And, you know, when I thought about that, I was like, yeah, but you know what? Ben Simmons, like, they really want him to run point, and that's going to hurt him, and that's going to move him to, you know, that traditional, like, seventh or eighth, like, guy off the bench, backup point guard or backup 2A, 2B. But now that Simmons is out, I think it's full go with Bayless. Rodriguez has reportedly been doing well in preseason, and McConnell has been able to step in when they've needed him. But Bayless is a legitimate NBA player, and I don't know why he would not be seeing at least 32 minutes per game. And you're right, he's going to be valuable. Is he one of the top half point guards in the league? No way. But he's going to be seeing enough minutes where his stats are going to reflect being a top half point guard in the league, and that's all we really care about.
That's all we care about, sir. All right. Let's go to your number two sleeper.
All right, number two sleeper for me is Terrence Jones, and a lot of people probably don't even know where he's playing these days. He had, first few years spent in Houston. Things didn't really work out that well. He started, he had a couple amazing games, but in terms of team dynamic, he just didn't quite fit in. Like
some odd injury stuff too, right?
Some odd injury stuff. So this guy has a checkered history and from a lot of different areas, but he's playing in New Orleans, and New Orleans last year was absolutely decimated by injuries. Unfortunately, they've been hurt by injuries and various various issues there as well, to where they're just not going to have a full staff, it seems. For the first half of this season, they're going to be troubled yet again. The big issue here in terms of playing time for Terrence Jones is that he's going to be starting out, he's going to be backing up Anthony Davis at power forward. However, they're going to want to play Alvin Gentry, coach of the Pelicans, is going to want to play Anthony Davis at center at vast amounts during games and over the course of the season. Alexis Ajinka is pretty good. He's not bad. And you have Omar Asik at center, and you think,
you can't run. You can't run with Ajinka.
You can't run.
He's an anchor.
And you can't run even more so with Asik. And so
I don't think he can briskly walk with Asik.
Right. Yeah. That guy needs a walker to get up to court. and so, you know, while those guys are solid traditional centers, 15 years ago they would be highly sought after and they'd be playing a ton of minutes, but not anymore. And I think what that means is that Terrence Jones is going to be seeing a lot of time at power forward while Anthony Davis is playing center. Now, Terrence Jones, when he's on the court, he's pretty good. I mean, his per 36 stats numbers, let me give them to you. By the way, he's only 24 years old.
Yeah.
Over the last 3 years, his per 36 stats, he's at least averaged 15 points, about 7.5 rebounds, almost a full steal, and 1.5 blocks. And 2 years ago, his per 36 were 2.5 blocks. Oh, yeah, he's giving you at least half or 1 3-pointer if he's seeing that much time on the court. So, again, it always comes down to time on the court, but Terrence Jones is one of those guys. Is if he is seeing that time, I like him as a valuable guy being taken later in the later in any kind of draft that you're in. But I think there could be a lot of value at some point, very soon.
And so cheap. He'll be so cheap. Right. I just said, how many guys are even aware he's moved to the Pelicans? He'll be so cheap that if he's healthy, big upside. And if he's hurt, you didn't pay that much for.
Right.
You know?
And on top of that, he's going to have center, power forward, and small forward eligibility on a lot of websites.
That's true.
So that helps.
And he's that, and he's just that fantasy dream, you like a young Rudy Gay, where like anyone that could hit threes and block shots, you're always excited about. Ooh, right. A big that can block shots and hit threes. You know, you want fill the width of the box score.
Exactly. Yep, that's what I'm looking for up and down. So I will be targeting Terrence Jones later on in all my drafts, and I'm excited as somebody who's going to start on the bench. But, you know, 20 games into the season, he could be a starter at power forward if Anthony Davis moves to center and they just kind of throw Ajinka and Oshik to the side, which is totally possible.
Totally possible. I mean, there are some teams with some speed out west, and having those anchor centers is not going to help your case at all whatsoever. Well, let's stay in New Orleans for my next sleeper pick because, you know, taking a step back, my two dreams in putting together fantasy teams are always, yeah, finding some bigs that can block shots and hit threes, and then finding some cheap point guards. And my happy cheap point guard, super late round guy is going to be Tim Frazier this year, because as you mentioned, almost a tragic situation with Drew Holiday's wife and her having both a brain tumor while she is pregnant. No idea when Holiday will come back, probably January, early January, and good for him for prioritizing the personal issues there, which just leaves a ton of minutes for Tim Frazier. The point guard situation is so dicey with Evans also hurt. They're talking about Etuan Moore playing point guard, which I can't imagine. I hope that's not the cover of their press kit this year. come, season ticket holders. See Etuan Moore at point guard. You know, Frazier has some quality games and spot starts for him. And I just think could be a 6-assist, 1-3 a game. I wish he shot a little better free throw percentage. But he's going to be some really cheap assists at the end of a lot of drafts.
Yeah, obviously you hate the way that he's going to see his way into minutes. But, right, you know, if he is seeing quite a bit, he is somebody who traditionally, when seeing at least 32 minutes on the court, he can get you 15 points, 4 rebounds, and 10 assists. I mean, I'm looking
and at, plus 1 steals.
Yeah, plus 1 steals. I mean, in terms of a stats guy, this is where you should be looking. Now he's been passed around the league quite a bit. He just hasn't found a team that wants to hang on to him. But again, we only care about stats, and Tim Frazier gets you stats, so that's a good pick, Ken.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. All right, who's next on the DJ list?
All right, here's a super deep sleeper. I know some of you are in some pretty deep leagues, and you're looking, you know, all the starters have been gone in your league, and you're just trying to target, you know, what backup players could potentially see their way into starter minutes, or even if they're only going to see 14 to 16 minutes on the court, if you're in a league that deep, you know, who's going to give me good value during those limited minutes?
And I'm gonna and I'll throw in there too, who has a really old guy behind him on the depth chart and a person often injured in front of him in the depth chart.
Right, exactly. And that's Justin Hamilton playing for your Brooklyn Nets.
Your Brooklyn, not my Brooklyn, but your
America's Brooklyn Nets. let me talk about Hamilton really quick, because he's not well known in the league. He is 26 years old, so he's going, he's been around for a while now. Very rarely over the course of the last 2 years, over the course of his time with three different franchises, now four, he's seen starters minutes. But when he did see starters minutes, and I don't even really have stats to really show you because it's been so limited, but those few games where he saw quite a bit of minutes, he's one of those guys that is absolutely going to destroy it when it comes to blocks and steals for you.
And hits
a three for somebody who's 6'11". There's not a lot of game tape on this guy, but if he sees minutes, he is just going to be all over the place. And
also hits his free throws. Nice for a guy who qualifies at center.
83% last year. Obviously, it's pretty limited in terms of, but I mean, it's solid. It's solid to begin with. 2 years ago, over 8 games, he shot 100%, but I bet you only took 2 or 4. And then he's shooting 48% from the field last year with Miami and Minnesota. If he finds his way onto the court, actually, that was 2 years ago. He was out of the league last year. So obviously, this is a super deep sleeper, but he has Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez has stayed healthy for the last 2 seasons, has given you at least 70 games. But we all know that, you know, he's one step away from being out.
Tick, Tick. Right. That's my ticking time bomb noise. Yeah.
It's tough. I love Brook Lopez, but you have to admit when you draft him that you have to be aware that he could, you know, go away. And if Justin Hamilton finds his way into starters minutes, which is entirely possible, and he will, because they're going to rest Brook Lopez.
Trevor Booker and Luis Scola at power forward are not exactly a dynamic duo. You know, like you can see him. I can see them wanting to experiment with Hamilton at power forward too, because they just. Anthony Bennett's on this roster.
Yeah. The only issue there is that they would get destroyed on defense. But, I mean, there'll be certain sets that they faced in the East where that could make sense, especially because Hamilton can stretch the court while Brook Lopez, you know, can stick around the rim. On defense, they'd be in trouble. But, yeah, Justin Hamilton, your super deep sleeper. If he sees time on the court, he's going to stuff the stat sheet. Will he see time on the court? I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. Deep leagues, you need to stash some potential gems in deep leagues. This also reminds me of my wife finally got tickets to see Hamilton. I have to go see Hamilton with the family. That soundtrack runs 24/7 in this household. The kids just play it over. And it hasn't totally annoyed me yet. I'm not really a fan of musicals. If you have to take someone, it's a hard ticket to get. They're in Chicago now. You could also go to Chicago. If you really need to impress Emily or any other lady friends.
Okay.
Hamilton tickets. Money in the bank. Money in the bank.
Good to know. All right. You've got two more sleepers here. Give me one.
All right.
Two.
I'm going to go with my man, Gorgui Jang. Am I getting any better on saying that? You say it.
Gorgui Jang.
Jang.
It's actually, so like on the pronunciation, it's, I don't want you to know how to say it though. That's the thing. I don't want to tell
you how
it's supposed to be
said. Let's keep going. Right. Tibbs loves him. He is going to get serious minutes. And RotoWire loves him. RotoWire's got him going up to almost 30 minutes a game, and I concur. He also can pass fairly well for a big man. CBS, though, they dinged him back to just forward. He was center forward all year, but they – anyway, so check your check your league settings. But a center getting you 2-plus assists a game, also 1-plus a steal, 1.5 blocks – he's even experimenting a little from three. Free throw percentage over 80%, field goal percentage at 53%. It's going to be awesome. And, you know, everyone wants to talk about Karl Anthony Towns, but Jang starting at power forward right next to him, also playing backup center minutes. Thibodeau, when he loves a guy, he runs him into the ground. And Jang plays the great kind of defense Tibbs is looking for.
Yeah, I agree. If he does see that much time on the court, then yes, he's going to be incredibly valuable, easily a top 50 guy. If he's averaging at least 28 minutes and he plays 70 games, 74, 75 games this year, he'll be a top 50 fantasy player. So Nemanja Bjelica is somebody who could maybe surpass Jang, but I don't think that's going to happen. Bjelica can legitimately stretch the court. He's your traditional stretch four. But in terms of defense and even on offense, Bjelica is not overly great, and I think Jang is going to be slotted in for quite a bit of minutes here. The more concern that I have is if they decide to go small and play somebody like a Shabazz Muhammad at power forward, that's where I'd be skeptical of Jang's minutes.
Do you see Tibbs going small that often? I don't.
No, I don't. You know, traditionally, I don't see that at all. So I think Jang is somebody that he's going to like a whole lot. I'm just trying to poke holes somewhere because it almost seems too good to be true. This is one of those guys that, as a fantasy community, we want to see him with lots of minutes. He's somebody like a John Henson. John Henson is
more so. Yes.
Per 36 stats, man, is he amazing. We want to see him out there. But really, in terms of helping you win games, numerous coaching staffs over and over have decided that he just doesn't do that. Jang hasn't quite had that same history like Henson to date. So we'll see if that bears any fruit with Tibbs. But I don't think so. I think he's going to get some legitimate shot out there. You're going to be saying his name all season long, Ken.
I'm going to be butchering that name, yes. And in last night's Pro League, NFBKC, he went the fourth pick in the fifth round. And I may harass Shannon. It's my fault because I bailed on him for this draft. But we went, I don't know. All right, so we took Derek Favors and DeAndre Jordan over Jang. And Jang qualifies at center.
Well,
I don't know.
Here's the thing. If you're going to look at consistency and you're going to be conservative, then you're definitely going to take those two guys over somebody like Jang.
Yeah, but the Jordan killer at free throw percentage.
Sure.
on a roto, not head to head, but yeah, you know, they're all good guys to have. They're all good guys to have. All right, sir. Did we get to your last? We did get to.
I'm all out of sleepers.
I think we're done. We're thinking. I'm going to give up. It's not a sleeper at all whatsoever, but I do think Al Horford is going to have a wonderful year with Coach Brad Stevens. One, I think he's finally going to have a home crowd that actually cheers for him, which he'll find extremely pleasant. But also, more importantly, Brad Stevens is going to know how to exactly use him to be a fantastic pick and roll with Isaiah Thomas. I'm very excited to see what Al Horford does for the Celtics. What do you think? Should we get out of here with our usual NBA legend quote?
Yeah, before you do that, real quick, like we've said before, 4 podcasts a week is what we'll be doing this season. Nick Whalen and I will be back with you on Monday for Tuesday's podcast. Nick and I will be interviewing Eric Name, who's with ESPN Milwaukee and Locked On Bucks podcast, to talk a little Bucks basketball. That'll be hitting your Stitcher, your iTunes, anywhere you have us on Tuesday. But yeah, Ken, get us out of here.
All right, sir. Well said, DJ. Let's end with another quote from our man, Charles Barkley, who said, quote, "I love Sam Cassell. He's a great guy, but he does look like E.T. Adios, amigos.
They're going to kill the love of my life.
Casey!
If I don't go back to what I was doing.
This Friday.
Our line of work is quite brutal and quite ruthless.
How far would you go for love?
You steal a truck, bring it to me, then you make your money.
Is it dangerous?
Of course it's dangerous!
Nicholas Holt, Felicity Jones, with Ben Kingsley and Anthony Hopkins.
All this trouble, all this pain, for love.
Collide, in theaters Friday. Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13.